Are you sure that you have been forgiven by God and that you are definitely not going to face eternal judgment, separation from Him? Are you sure that you've been rescued from that experience? In simple shorthand, are you sure that you have been saved? And how can you know? How can you know these things? The good news is you can know these things. You can know this personally. The Apostle Paul says in the first sentence, we have peace with God. That doesn't mean a calm feeling. That means even though we are sinners, we can be friends with a holy God. Even though we have lived ungodly lives, we can be friends with a holy God. Even though God in His holiness is so opposed to sin and injustice and selfishness that He regards us as His enemies, we can be not His enemies, but His friends. 100% guaranteed. No doubts. That is the good news today. Donald MacLeod, Free Church. He says, I suspect that many pressing problems in the church today stem from lack of assurance. That's certainly the case in the Presbyterian traditions of Scotland. But it's also true in our church too. Wordsworth defined poetry as the spontaneous overflow of powerful feelings. What are the spontaneous overflows of your heart this morning? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Is that the overflow of your heart this morning? Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. The foundation for that kind of overflow, the foundation for that kind of service, for this foundation for that kind of grateful life is an assurance that God loves you, is an assurance that Christ died for you, is an assurance that God rescued you, is a cast iron, guaranteed conviction that nothing can separate you from the Lord. Do you know that God's grace is greater than your weakness? God's grace is greater than your weakness. Are you living in weakness or are you living in God's grace? Are you living with a sense of your own inadequacy, of your own lack of knowledge, of your own inability to pray, your own inability to get things right. Are you living by your weakness, or are you living by God's love and God's power? What does the Apostle Paul say here? First of all, he says, look to Jesus. Don't look at yourself. False assurance is all based on self. It's based on my service for God. It's based on my moral life. It's based on my church attendance. My knowledge of the Bible. False assurance. And the greatest indicator of false assurance is pride. Lack of poverty of spirit. Real assurance is nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to your cross I cling. I have no confidence in myself, but I have 100% confidence in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is your life built on sand or on solid rock? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. God's grace is greater than my weakness and your weakness. The most important thing that Paul is saying here is that Christ died. Do you know he says it many times in this passage? There's two things that are said many times in this passage. One is Christ, and the other one is died. And for those that want to look deeper, in the original language, the word died appears at the end of every sentence. Christ died, he died, he died, he died. He died for you. He died for you. Do you know that? And he died not when we were good. He died when we were bad. He died not when we were close, but when we were far away. He died not when we knew everything. He died when we knew nothing, when we did not know him. It says here, Paul in Holy Scripture says these words, he died when we were weak, when we were powerless, when we could not save ourselves. He died when we were ungodly, when we were living for ourselves and not for God. And he died when our life meant that his attitude towards us was that of hostility, because he is a holy God. So how did he solve that problem? He sent his son to die in our place. To forgive us. But much more than forgiveness, He transforms us. He transforms our position and our status. We sang this morning, I stand before His holiness. Do you know that a holy God and a sinful man, a sinful woman, you cannot stand before a holy God and live? We deserve to die. The wages of sin is death. But because Christ died in our place, we are not only forgiven, but we are declared not guilty. We are guilty, but He looks at us and says, not guilty. Because He looks at the finished work of His Son on the cross. Someone in our congregation, Mike, he shared this story many times, and he shared it publicly as well. He came to faith when he realized that no one had the right to judge him apart from God Himself. And God has already judged him, and God has judged him acceptable, not guilty, because God sent His Son to die for him. He says, the only person who has the right to judge me is God. And God in His grace has declared me acceptable, significant, secure, worthy, even though I'm not worthy. Because God's grace is greater than our weakness. God's grace is greater than our sin. God's love is amazing. This is the whole gospel. This is the whole New Testament. So, I want to say three words. There is more. There is more. And actually, these are the words in this passage. There is more to say about the love of God than I can say this morning. No surprise there. The Apostle Paul, he says, and there's more, and there's more, and there's more, and there's more, and how much more? And what he's basically saying here is as if God can take a sinful man, a sinful woman, and transform them so that they can be His friends, so that they can be His children, standing without condemnation in a relationship. If God can do that, then how much more can He deal with all our other worries? Some Christians say, you know, I believe that Jesus died for me, but can I be sure that I will go to heaven? If He sent His Son to die for you so that you could pray to Him, so that you could have a union with Him today, how crazy is it to think that He could not do the rest? If God has reconciled you as a sinner into a saint, how much more can He save you at the final judgment? And that's not only His death, that is also His life, because He did not only die on a cross, He rose from the dead on the third day. What is Jesus doing today? It says in Scripture, Romans chapter 8, that He ever intercedes for us. You know, in these really difficult days when you're full of self-doubt and you say, how can God ever love me? How can God Walk with me when I'm like this. How marvelous. How wonderful. And our song shall ever be. Because he died for me. Not only died for me, he lives. He lives to pray for us. Do you remember what he said to Peter? He said, Satan wants to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. And the Apostle Paul says that Christ has an indestructible life. He lives forever as our mediator, as the guarantee of an eternal salvation, and as the one who prays for us. This is objectively true. This is logical, but it's no less wondrous because it's logical and because it's rational and because it happened in history and because it's fact. But as you take hold of these facts, you will start to experience the overflow of the Spirit filling your heart with love in response. He first loved us. Isn't that right? That he first loved us, and we are filled with love for him. And that is why we celebrate communion, to remember that God's grace is greater than our weakness. That it is by grace that we have been saved. It is the gift of God so that no one can boast. That's why we have this meal. Because we find it hard, don't we? We find it hard to accept that it's all about grace. And we receive all the benefits of Christ's finished work on the cross through faith. That is through believing that he died and rose again for us. But it's more than that. It's trusting and committing our lives in response. It is not our faith that saves us. It is the death of Christ that saves us, and we receive the salvation through faith. The water, if you want to have a glass of water, the pipe which brings the water is absolutely essential to receiving the water. If we didn't have the pipe, you wouldn't be able to receive it. But the pipe is not the water. It's the channel through which the water and the life comes. Our faith is but a channel through which the benefits of Christ's finished work flow to us. The gift of God flows to us. So stop trying to earn it. Stop trying to be good enough. And put your trust in what he's done for you and receive. And that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to sing How Deep the Father's Love for Us in preparation for taking communion.